We have these kind of local conferences from time to time, as you know. And in these times, our burden is to share something with the whole church as we're led by the Lord, considering our present need. We'll be having more four meetings tonight, tomorrow morning, tomorrow evening. And then, of course, Lord's Day morning, the whole church actually will be coming together in this hall, Hall 1, for that day. I would like to strongly encourage all the brothers and sisters to come to all four meetings. I'm not here because I'm dying for you to listen to me. I need a bigger audience or anything like that. First of all, the speaking is a series. As you see on page one, we have 72 precious words. And what we're going to do, as the Lord leads, is tonight we will cover 24. Tomorrow morning we'll cover the second 24. And then tomorrow evening, the third 24. And then Lord's Day morning, we will have a special word of conclusion. So in order to stay with the speaking and to receive the import or the impact of this word, it would be best if you can come to all the meetings. So please do your best to do that. So that is for the sequence. But the more important thing, brothers and sisters, is that there is a strong burden within. This burden, this weekend, has been percolating within me for, I would say, many, many months. It is due to an exercise before the Lord and due to observation of the situation and contact with many brothers and sisters. All this resulted in a strong, I'd say heavy, burden within on this matter. What is this matter we're talking about? We're talking about the need to deepen, to broaden, to strengthen, to enrich each of our personal relationship with the Lord, and even to be more specific, our individual time with God. This is the burden. I will underscore that word personal from the outset. So this weekend, that would be the emphasis, the personal, not the corporate. This is not to say the corporate is not important. We all should be clear that the corporate is what the Lord wants eventually. A built-up church, a built-up testimony. However, we should also realize that the corporate is only as strong as each individual is strong. The church is only as healthy, as vital, as each individual is healthy and vital. There is no way around this. We cannot dream or expect that somehow we just all pile together and this would be some kind of strong, healthy, prevailing church. No such thing. On the other hand, we should believe, we must believe, that if each one of us would have this robust, passionate, strong, intense, may I use the word, relationship with God, with the Lord, personally. That will result spontaneously, naturally, in a strong church life, in a robust church life, in a vital, fruit-bearing, and I would say Satan-defeating church life. We almost don't need to worry about that. Now, there is the aspect that all of our individual spirituality must not be an end in itself. That all of our personal spirituality must be for the corporate building of the Lord's body. Now, we must be clear about that. That we are not here this weekend just to enhance your personal life with the Lord, to make you some kind of spiritual specimen for some spiritual museum, right? As an exhibit. That is not what God wants. God wants a built-up bride. God wants a built-up warrior. God wants a built-up body. And all of us are stones, are but members, parts of that one unique body, the expression and testimony of the Lord in this universe. But as I said, the vine, which is the true vine, which really is the Lord Jesus himself, according to John 15, Gospel of John 15, is actually the collection of all the branches, an organic collection of all the branches. Actually, the vine, if you've seen a vine before, you can hardly tell, you know, what is the trunk and what are the branches. They fuse together. In fact, the vine is the branches. So, as the branches are strong, the vine is strong. You see? And this is a good place to start, this illustration. And that is, the Lord says, I am the true vine. You are the branches, meaning us, his believers, are the branches. So, abide in me, that word, abide in me. The other way of saying is remain in me. Dwell, an older word. Dwell in me. Stay in me. Branches, stay in me, the vine. That means what? That means remain in a unbroken, uninterrupted fellowship, communion, contact with me, nonstop. If you would do this, if you would remain in me in this way, all the nutrients, all the supply that I, the vine, would draw from this earth will flow to you as sap, as life juice, to cause you to live, to cause you to bear fruit. That fruit bearing ultimately will make you joyful, and it will also satisfy the Father God, who is the planter himself, the husbandman. We all have to realize, brothers and sisters, each one of us is a branch in this vine. And there is no other position for us, there's no other place for us to be, but to be connected, united, entirely joined to this vine. I say again, on a non-stop basis, on a 24/7 basis. As long as we take care of this connection, we take care of this fellowship, we take care of this union in our communion, we will be healthy. And the branch, and this vine will flourish. That's where we're getting at this weekend. This weekend. Now, this burden that has been percolating in me was due to my observation. And I don't maintain that my observation is 100% correct. All human beings are flawed, myself included. But after some times in the Lord's recovery, in shepherding the church, in caring for the saint, and in traveling, visiting amongst the churches, the Lord's children, in different congregations here and there, I begin to realize that among many things, this matter is perhaps at the root. That is somewhat, or maybe even to a large degree, neglected. In some cases, missing. In some cases, becoming stale. And this explains to me almost all the problems that we have. All the problems we have. Personal problems, marital problems, familial problems, church problems, all kinds of problems on the negative side. On the positive side, or on the other side, this to me explains also why there is, for example, a lack of the outworking of our consecration. Why there is a difficulty in getting through certain spiritual blockages. Why there is the inability to overcome some long-term spiritual problems. Why is there a lack of vitality? Why is there a shortage of functioning? Why is there a lack of fruit in our lives? Both fruit in terms of the virtues that we express, according to Galatians 5, and the fruit that are the unsaved that we bear to God. Well, I would trace all of this. There are many reasons, but I like to trace all of this primarily to this one thing, and that is somewhere along the line, our personal time, our personal life, our personal relationship with the Lord is suffering. In some cases, it may be even entirely absent. We're just a good member in the church. We show up on Sunday, Lord's Day. We come to this and that and do whatever is require was simply because we're responsible or faithful. And yet, I'll tell you, inside it's dried up. There's no strength. There's no happiness. There's no overflowing sense, a sense of overflow. Rather, there's a sense of difficulty, of great burden, of unhappiness. We find some of us, the church life has become routine, common, not exciting. All these things I'm describing are signs, telltale signs of something missing at the root. Talking about root, we are here this weekend touching our root life with the Lord. This afternoon, as I was with the Lord in my backyard praying, I just was opening to the Lord about tonight, about this weekend, for a word from Him, for a living word from Him, myself. I need His speaking first. And in a kind of a particular way, this word came to me. And that is this word, return. Return. And so I pondered, I thought about this word, and it occurred to me that this word is very much used by Jeremiah the prophet. If you go especially to chapter, I don't remember, 3 and 4, somewhere around there. At least there are 4 times Jehovah God spoke this way through the prophet to the children of Israel. Return, O apostate Israel. Return, O apostate Israel. Return, O apostate Israel. And there, if you have read Jeremiah, you know Jeremiah was free in a very honest way because he was God's spokesman to compare these Israel who had forsaken God to be adulterous, to be committing fornication with other gods, and therefore having forsaken their God, their living God, who considers himself the husband to Israel, his wife. And to go away from this God is to commit adultery. And that is the meaning of apostasy. Apostasy equals spiritual adultery. So God says, return. Not turn, mind you, but return. Turn is like you've never turned. You've never been there. Turn. Return means you've been there, but you left. Now come back. Return. So inside of me, it's like the Lord was speaking to me. Man, return. Come back. Come back. And so in chapter 2 of Jeremiah, you have that famous verse that Israel has done 2 main sins. Number one, she has forsook God, her husband. Number one. And number two, that they hewed for themselves broken cisterns, which can hold no water. And they have therefore left. The fountain of living water. And of course, that fountain of living water is none other than the very God himself as their source, the unique source. Oh, within me, I just feel the Lord is calling me. Man, return to me. From everything, return to me. Return to me, your husband, your unique source. Turn back from all other things you have hewn, all other things that you thought could supply and satisfy and quench your thirst. Turn away. Return to me. I am the source of living water. Come back to me, the fountain. And then I also recall how, in a positive way, in Psalms 42, for example, and Psalms 84, Psalms 143, I cannot tell you the verses. They may be found also in these, a lot of these scriptures there in this outline, where the psalmist, in a burst of strong sentiment, says what? As the heart pants for the water brooks, so my heart pants for thee, O God. And it talks about how my heart, in 84, I think, longs or pants after the living God, as if in a dry and parched land where there is no waters. Oh, now this is quite the opposite of Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a wife who has turned aside, has turned away to another. Whereas in Psalms is a wife, or are some lovers that are just hungry, thirsty, longing for satisfaction from their husband, and that is the living God himself. I love those verses. I love these verses in Psalms. I've known them since I was young. Until today, I still love them. What a contrast between the two. I have this burden this weekend. Should the Lord have mercy on us, that he will speak a direct word to each one of you, each one of us, myself included. Return. Return. Don't have even a kind of assurance that you're okay. Don't have the assurance. You may even have a measure of experience of Christ or a life of communion with Christ, but don't even be contented with that because it's not deep enough. It's not strong enough. It's not intense enough as it should be. So all of us, wherever we are, needs to come back. I then also reflect on Matthew 13 about the seed that was sown onto the different grounds, or different kinds of grounds. First, it's on the wayside. I think we can forget about that. But there are the other three kinds of ground. Number one, that just remain in some shallow soil. Shallow soil. So when the sun comes up, the persecution starts, the suffering begins, it just died. Because there is no depth. No depth. The second kind of soil is there's depth. It got in. It grows. It's growing, I should say. But when it begins to grow, these thorns come over and choked it up. Choked it up. And those thorns, the Lord himself deciphered for us in this parable as being what? Number one, the deceitfulness of riches. Number two, the anxieties of this life, of this physical life we live in. Choke. It's a chokehold. Number three, the third kind of ground are those that fell in, but there are rocks, boulders, stones underneath that blocked, that stopped the growth of the root further down. It went to a certain depth, but it could go no further. I'd like to ask tonight, brothers and sisters, which kind of soil are you? The soil is the human heart. What condition is our heart before the Lord? And he is the seed, as the word of life. Are we those who even never, the seed never even got deep? We have always remained in a shallow state with the Lord. Our Christian life is just always superficial, in shallowness. We're just always that way. It's always that way. We're a real Christian. No problem with that. But it's a shallow life that we live in. A shallow Christian existence with no depth. I knock on you and I just get a hollow sound because there's no depth. A kind of tingling cymbal. There's no depth. There's no Christ. No element of Christ. It's a shallow life. It's a shallow life. Brothers and sisters, we can be in the church life, but exist in shallowness. No depth. No depth. Now, I'm not talking about all of us becoming, you know, some student of theology, you know. You know, again, get into some quote-unquote deep stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. I am not here talking about the amount of doctrine you know, the amount of teaching you know. I'm not talking about that. I am talking about your personal experience and relationship with the Lord in life. That's what I'm talking about when I say shallowness. You know, one can have all kinds of knowledge, but utterly shallow in their life as a Christian. One of our brothers told us he was 8 years with this group of people called the Brethren. You know, the Brethren. Now, if there's a group of people that knows the Bible, I will tell you it's the Brethren. They call the Plymouth Brethren, British Brethren, from the 19th century. Today we owe too much to this group of brothers in terms of the proper knowledge of the truth in the Scriptures. So he was 8 years under one such teacher in China. He's from China. This brother, this teacher, is from England, the British. So he would teach him all the things concerning types and, you know, all the things that the brethren is famous for, you know, much deeper than your common general Christianity. This brother testified to us. Yet while all the time he was teaching, he was smoking. I was not there, so I don't know, but I can almost imagine he was talking about the types in between puffs. You know, Christ, the type, the tabernacle, the all these wonderful types in the Bible in between puffs. Do you understand what I'm saying? All the knowledge of the Word. Did not give this man the spiritual potency to overcome these things. I think you follow my point here. Now, perhaps you're not that way. You have, your root had sunk to a certain degree. By the way, if you're that first kind, just some persecution, just some suffering, just some adversity, you'll be taken out by the enemy. You dried up, basically. You will dry up. You will shrivel up because there's no depth. There's no depth there. The second kind, there is some depth. And there's even some growth. But what? But around comes the deceitfulness of riches and the anxietiness of life. I tell you, these two things, the Lord knows, 2,000 years ago, He spoke like He's here today. Because human nature never changes. The fallen human society is just one and the same today as 2,000 years ago. The downfall, the culprit, the choker of so many Christians who are there, who have some measure of growth. Yeah, these are not just your, outward superficial. These are Christians with some measure, something, yet choked. These thorns are just growing around, just choking it up. One, riches. It doesn't say riches. It actually says the deceitfulness of the riches. In other words, being deceived by riches. Believing that riches is everything. That riches can solve every problem. That riches can make you happy. It choked. Or the anxieties of this life. Anxieties of this life. Choked. Well, I got 24 words to cover. You say, when are you going to get to that? Well, I may just read those 24 words and it's done, right? I am more burdened to release a burden. This will take care of itself. Don't worry. Off the bat tonight, I would like to say something here. To myself also, not just to you, to myself. I feel, brothers and sisters, we have all, including me, have over time become victims of technology. By that specifically, I mean the various and growing number of devices, internet devices, that almost now can do everything and anything. I still remember my first cell phone. It was like a military phone. That's back in the 80s, before many of you were born. And I was pretty proud of it. It was made by Sharp. And I carry it like this, with an antenna, in the military. And I take it to my car, sit it there, and I use it to call. I said, my, this is cool. I still remember that. That's all it can do, and it's all static, and you couldn't call overseas. But it was high tech at the time. My goodness, compared to that today, this little thing called your smartphone in your hand can do everything. And they are packing it in so that it's a one-stop everything. Am I correct? You don't need anything. It's all there. The only thing is it doesn't feed you anything, food. But it tells you where to go. When they get you triangulated, they'll tell you where you are and where to go, where you want to eat. And the pads and the notebooks and computer, of course. All these things. Let me not even talk about the defiling aspect of it, okay? Which is huge. Huge. I call these devices reverse sewage. You know, sewage get out of your house to the street. I call this reverse sewage. It comes right back to you. But let's not talk about even that tonight, okay? Let's not talk about that side. And that side, I don't talk about it. It doesn't mean I'm letting it go. This, the defiling side of this today, is the cause of many broken marriages, sinfulness, all manners of evil proliferates through the internet. And as these devices can access with better pixels, right? Greater speed, wider bandwidths, I tell you, we cannot live without it anymore. We cannot live without it anymore. So, apart from the defiling side of these things, which can ruin you, which can damage you, which can kill you, all the terrible things that swirl around in the internet world, this thing is occupying so much of our time. Do you follow? Do you agree with me? I'm one of you. I'm absolutely not excusing myself. It has become that, number one, this thing is totally tethered to me. Totally tethered. You know, it is an invisible cord between me and this thing. And by habit now, by custom now, the first thing I do is reach for this thing and put in my bag or whatever. I can forget my car keys, but I will not forget my smartphone. Yeah, you believe me. And not only so, I increasingly depend on it for my daily living. All the time is in my hand. All the time I'm looking to it to do certain things, you know, email or text or, I don't know. That's about all I know, but there's a million of other things that I don't even know. A tweet, Facebook. I was told today's young people, the amount of time, not that they spend on internet, they spend on Facebook, is unbelievable. The hours. And there's no reason. They just want to check up whether their friends are still there. or their friends have responded to their latest whatever. And whether their friends' friends are now joining in. And all the time, They are just locked in to that virtual world, spending their time and all energy, a brain energy, physical energy, to just keep up with that. So much so, that it's not even you really need it, but you need it. Spell addiction. You know, they call them crackberries. I use a blackberry. Crackberries. You don't need to do anything, but you must do something with it to look important or something. Three people can be standing here, everyone is doing this, having a conversation over the internet probably. When I'm talking to you, you're looking at that thing, and I'm looking at my thing. I'm here not talking about the social, you know, the human, sociological, that side of things. Tonight our burden is spiritual. I am saying this, that even God is just on one of your chat boxes now, of the three or four that you have. God has been relegated to now one of your friends. And we're all so good in multitasking that we can just even pray to God as one of the tasks while I'm multitasking three other things. Are you following me? So I'm talking to God, quote, quote, you know, praying. Whoop, ding. Oh, excuse me. Sorry, John, can come tonight. Ding. Back to God. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Ding. Oh, sorry, this one. We've become so good at this. So God is just, the Lord is just over in the corner there. You know, then after a while he stopped dinging, I think. And you say, okay, close that chat box. I think some of us have morning revival with the Bible in one hand and a mobile device on the other. That's our morning revival. We just move around. What is suffering here? Brothers and sisters, what is suffering here? What is suffering is our quality time with the Lord, which is indispensable. There's almost like our time with the Lord, our personal time. You know, you wonder why there's no depth. You wonder why it is just kind of a routine thing. You wonder why that you didn't get much out of it. I touch the Lord. You wonder why that you are so easily satiated just by a little bit of the Lord, and you're done. I'm on to the next thing. I need to do other things. You're feeding actually on the other things. You wonder why the Lord does not take over your life. You wonder why I'm not filled with the Spirit. You wonder why that there is no power in my Christian life. You wonder why I cannot overcome this entangling sin. You wonder why I'm losing taste for spiritual things. You wonder why I have no time to read the Word, the Bible. You wonder why I have no time to study the ministry. You wonder why that I don't pray. Why? Because we're too busy. We are very occupied. I consider this part of the today's, 21st century's anxiety of life. So you say, what can we do? Well, I did have the thought to start some retreats here. And if you sign up for this retreat, I will have some TSA people at the door collect all your electronic gadgets. And you even have to go through a gate, you know, one of these things, and make sure you don't hide one. Then you come to my retreat for 1 week with no cell phone, no email, no nothing. All you have is the sky, the earth, and God. I would guarantee you, after that week, you'll be a different person. I guarantee you. Nothing about you has changed. Nothing about God has changed. It's now you have all the time, all the attention, all the focus just on Him. You know, brothers and sisters, why we're growing so slowly? According to time, even physical time or age, we should be growing, but we're not. In some cases, I even see regression. Regression, as if it's possible to ungrow in the Christian life. Not because of some big sin, you know, big problem in that way, but just all these kind of things added together. So, as someone said, my wife told me about this, maybe, how about the church in Irvine? We make a decision. At least once a week, we will all have a digital Sabbath. That means from sunrise to sunset on one day, we all put away our devices and use that time to just be with the Lord. You think about this. If this happens, will something happen to the church in Irvine? What do you think? So this person who did this does it on Lord's Day, because the Lord's Day is the Lord's Day. We should be for the Lord. Just the Lord and nothing else. How about this? I'm not mandating this. I'm not imposing this at all. But I'm just saying this. Brothers and sisters. Now, I believe by this time, listening to me, you know I am pretty serious about what I'm talking about. Now, let me come to these words by saying this. What I'm talking about here is hardly just don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. That actually doesn't work. That doesn't work. I say this because I feel you need to be said. But the solution is not just hand over your phone. you know, for someone who gambles, you cut off their hands, they still gamble with their head, you know. They still gamble. Dear brothers and sisters, we need a fresh attraction. We need to be freshly charmed, freshly wooed by the Lord Jesus. We need to have a fresh falling in love with the Lord again. We need to rethink our life with the Lord, individual life with the Lord. We need to reconsider our times with Him. You know, the general term for a person spending time with the Lord, they call it a time of devotion. Am I right? some books are called devotional, whatever. Well, by definition, devote means devote, not multitask. Devote, singularly, attentively. Because this one wants and requires all of our attention. In order for him to what? To infuse you with all that he is. To supply you with all of his riches. To satisfy you. To fulfill all of your needs. For him to come in and get through all of your problems. For him to come in to truly from inside out heal. Psychological sicknesses, spiritual diseases. He wants to, because it takes time for him to come and shine. To shine. It takes time to shine, to scan. It takes time for him to come and dispense the medicine that is needed. All this he wants to do for us and to us. He wants to mingle himself with us. He wants to be joined to us. He wants to be so rich to us. He wants to save us. He wants to make us just like him. Brothers and sisters, that takes time. That takes time. And my burden within my heart is that in Irvine, all the saints would have a fresh realization of this and a fresh response to the Lord about this and a fresh re-entry, return. Or maybe for some of us, a fresh discovery of such a inner life in the inner chambers with the King. Song of Songs. Now, I'm going to just quickly go through these 24 words. This weekend we have 72. They're all grouped in 12. So they're all together 6 groups. The first group, number 12, the first 12 words, defines this relationship. And the rest of the 60 words describe that relationship. Describe that relationship. So the first 12 words sort of sets the tone. Describe what this relationship is all about. How is it? All right? So let's go to it, and I'm not going to really spend that much time because of time. I'll just say something about this, just to highlight. I love these words. I hope you will love these words. I didn't go to some dictionary and start picking out words. It didn't happen that way. The words just came from the Word of God and also from experiences. And I believe this is quite the common spiritual experiences of a seeking one of the Lord. All right? Let me say one more thing. There's a famous little tract or booklet called Union and Communion by someone called Hudson Taylor. A renowned missionary from Great Britain to China in the early 1800s. What is outstanding about this brother is that he was not only zealous for the gospel work, for the souls of China, which he was. He said, if I have 1,000 lives, I will give every one of them to China, to the Chinese. I'm a Chinese, ethnic Chinese. I tell you, I thank God for brothers like this. But what is outstanding about him, and eventually the organization, the missionary mission that he started, founded, called China Inland Mission, was that this brother has a root life, a life in the deep with the Lord. And so he wrote this booklet called Union and Communion, primarily based on John chapter 15, Gospel of John 15, the vine and the branches. And there, his point is, number one, that positionally, we are already people who are united with Christ. We, through regeneration, by being born again, by receiving the life of God, we all have been grafted into Christ. We all have been organically joined to the Lord as a fact, as a historical fact. You agree with me?
Amen.
We're all joined to the Lord.
Amen.
We're one spirit with the Lord, all of us. But that's only part one. That book is, the title is Union and Communion. And Communion. What's communion? Communion is the experience of union. Communion is union experienced. It is union make real. It's union becoming subjective. It's this union becoming your portion. And that's communion. And communion, another word for that today, is called fellowship. It's the same word in Greek. Fellowship. That means not only are these two joined, but there is an unceasing traffic and flow between the two. Between the two. Fellowship actually means mutual participation. These two are participating of the same. What are those two? Number one, it's me. Number two, it's God. Number one, it's a believer. Number two, it's Christ. These two are joined, mingled, blended together. Now, through a process of communion, starting from the first day of that joined Christian existence. Okay? I tell you, the whole Christian life is a life of communion. And the stronger that communion is, the deeper that communion is, the more this believer will grow. Will grow. Will be healthy. Will become a full-grown man. Will have their functions manifested. They will keep growing in this communion day by day. And I tell you, listen to me, everything that is spiritually profitable comes out of that communion. Everything. Light comes out of it. Life comes out of it. Peace comes out of it. Joy comes out of it. Everything that we need to live this Christian life, power comes out of it. Faith comes out of it. Endurance comes out of it. Patience comes out of it. Everything that we need to live this Christian life comes out of that communion. Because it is in that fellowship with the Lord that all these riches, these unmeasurable, unfathomable riches of Christ, Ephesians 3, would flow to us and become ours. So, to have this kind of fellowship with the Lord, brothers and sisters, is not optional. And this fellowship must grow, must be deepened, and not remain the same day after day. All right, now, these 12 words to describe, or rather define, what this relationship with the Lord is. Number one, this relationship with the Lord must be absolutely personal. No vicarious, you know, if I want to fall in love with him, I don't say, hey, Martin, my good friend, would you vicariously fall in love with him for me, please? No such thing, am I right? It's me falling in love because it is totally personal. No one can spend time with God for you. No one can be with the Lord, pray to the Lord on your behalf. You yourself must come to Him. You yourself must be with the Lord. So these verses here, I don't talk about it. Old Testament, Abraham. One-on-one. Moses, face-to-face. Absolutely personal. Up close and personal. And then actually you have cases. I mentioned a few. Just toss out a few to you. That woman who washed, the sinful woman, who washed the Lord's feet with his hair. You know that one? Totally personal. He didn't pay a girl to do that. She did it. She did it herself. It was personal. John, who laid on the Lord's bosom. You remember that? That is really personal. Even in Mark, when the Lord resurrected and the three women came to look for him, you know, at the tomb, and the Lord spoke to them, go tell my brothers, and he added two words in Mark, and Peter. Because Mark is supposed, actually, the gospel of Peter. The Lord remembered Peter, because Peter had just denied him three times. The Lord wanted to make sure that Peter personally got the message. There is absolutely the corporate side, but brothers and sisters, your relationship with the Lord must be intensely personal. No substitutes, no third party, just you and the Lord. You must develop this. You must build that up. You must not let someone else intrude. Even my wife's relationship with the Lord is absolutely personal between her and the Lord. I don't interrupt that. I don't interfere with that. That is true. That is true. Okay, number two. You know, in each of these words, there's scriptures, there's some footnotes, there's some hymns just for your enjoyment. Okay, number two, it is spiritual. Our relationship with the Lord is no longer fleshly as the disciples had. The disciples had a relationship with the Lord physically. Oh, how I wished when I was young, I was with Paul. I was with Peter, John, and I was one of the 12 disciples. That would have been great. Because I would be touching the Lord's flesh, you know, I would be, everything is physical. I'll tell you, Peter would say, I'm envy for you. Because Paul even says, we knew him in the flesh, but no longer. Today we know Christ in the Spirit. I tell you, the spiritual relationship with the Lord is much more near and close than a physical relationship. So this means our relationship with the Lord does not take place with our physical body, for sure. It does not take place in our mind, our soul, which is just for psychological experiences. Our experience with the Lord is totally in the realm of the Spirit. We must go to our spirit. We must enter into our spirit, which the picture in the tabernacle is the holiest place. We must get there. We must leave the outer court, move through the holy place, and enter into the holiest of all, and touch the throne of grace where the presence of the Lord is. Spiritual. We must be in the Spirit. That's the only place where the Lord is found. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Number three, this experience is altogether intimate. Altogether intimate. Very close. It couldn't be closer. None can be dearer. And I just don't have the time to read any of these verses to you here because of time. In the spiritual side, I forgot to mention, God is spirit. So the only way you can experience Him and be with Him is contact Him with your spirit. Now with the intimate, my goodness, much more intimate can you be when you read a verse like this Song of Songs 1:2, let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth, for your love is better than wine. My. That's good enough. I mean, nothing is more intimate than a kiss. And it says this is not a peck on the cheek. This is kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. This is a mouth-to-mouth kiss. Nothing is more intimate than such a contact. Brothers and sisters, when we're with the Lord, that time with the Lord must be full of spiritual kisses. That fellowship. Now, number four, this relationship is affectionate. Affectionate. Well, again, back to the verse about the kisses. And, of course, here, the important thing to remember is that we are not just believers of Christ, we are lovers of God. We are betrothed we have been betrothed as a virgin to Christ. We are His wife. We are by when we're regenerated, we got married to the Lord. So today, our relationship with Him actually, I would say, is not just affectionate, it should be most passionate. Romantic. Romantic. Brothers and sisters, your time with the Lord, is it religious or romantic? I tell you, no wonder our time with the Lord is kind of dry, because it has become religious. It has lost its romance, the romantic component. That's why for us to say, Lord Jesus, I love you. To whisper that, to say that over and over again. To mingle that in our reading of the Word. To mingle that in our prayers to Him. I tell you, cause our relationship with Him to be passionate. When it's passionate, it's strong. It's strong. You know, you just know when you see some brothers and sisters in the meeting. Boy, this guy's in love. This guy's in love. Not only he's in love, he was just with his lover. He's just like gaga, you know. He's crazy. This guy's drunk. This guy is drunk with love. This guy is crazy. This guy is head over heels. I tell you, we should be like that with the Lord if we spend that kind of a time with Him. But many of our time is just open the Holy Word, mutter a few words, grab your coffee, and turn on your email. I did my morning revival. Well, you did it. You surely did your morning revival, but you missed your lover. He was nowhere to be found. You did your morning revival alone by yourself. Where is he? Where is he? By the way, my experience is not to pray read all the verses there. I can never finish all the verses. Usually just a phrase. Just a sentence. I just chew. I just love the Lord in it. I tell you, those two words became such feeding to me. in the atmosphere of love. I better go quickly. The next word is our relationship with the Lord is what? Is private. Totally private. You know, if all your experiences with Christ, all your fellowship with Christ, everybody knows about, I tell you, that's probably not so deep. One day it says the overcomers will have a name written on there, on them, that nobody knows except Him. This means you should accumulate experiences of Christ between you and the Lord that nobody knows. Even your spouse does not know. Only you know with the Lord. So private. So private. The next one is deep. I would not go further. The depth. I've talked enough about the depth already. Number seven, strong. This relationship must be strong. All the time. You know, there's a verse that says what? That says, your love is stronger than what? Than death. Stronger than death. Our relationship with the Lord must be so strong. Next one, our relationship with the Lord must be without pretense, must be unfeigned, must be real, genuine, and sincere. Some young people ask me, what is the best way to pray to the Lord? I tell them, you know what? Just be real and sincere. It's not important what words you use. It's important that you are sincere to the Lord. The Lord cannot resist a sincere plea. He will not. A genuine, unpretentious, don't give the Lord all kinds of flowery languages. The Lord doesn't need a sermon from you. He wants something real from your heart. What is on your heart? Speak that. Say that. Open to Him. Not just what you say, but your whole person is genuine. With no hiding, no covering. You're just so simple before Him. Next word is pure. We go to God in a pure way, right? Without being sidetracked, corrupted by all kinds of thoughts in our mind. The mind is the problem. The soul is the problem. Blessed are the pure in the spirit. Let us be pure with the Lord when we come to Him. Unloaded, empty, just wanting Him, nothing else, no ulterior intentions. Lord, I just want You. I just want You. I'm not even asking for Your blessing. I want You. Amen. Once it was the blessing, A.B. Simpson wrote, now it is the Lord. Amen. That's a pure heart. Number 10, fresh. We must maintain our relationship with the Lord to be all the time new and fresh and not allow it to get stale. Abraham lived to 150 years. Abraham, the friend of God. I tell you, to the very end, his relationship with the Lord was as fresh as ever. Same thing with Moses. Freshness requires maintenance, renewal. 11, constant. Constant. That means always there, unceasing, not up and down, but always remained, kept, preserved, day in after day, year after year. I saw an old brother when I first came to the church from Taiwan. There was an Eldon, you know, there was this place we were in L.A. One morning I was out and saw this old brother. He's a co-worker. He was just there. well, his first time to the U.S., whatever. He was there early in the morning walking on the street, and I just can tell he was there contacting his Lord privately, personally, and just that. I don't even know what he was praying, what he was reading, just watching him walking back and forth do that impressed this young heart so much, so much. I said, I wish when I'm old like he, I'll be still doing that. No fireworks, no Disneyland at 9:30, no, you know, jumping up and down. An older man, I tell you, inside, he was fresh with the Lord. So new. Number 12, memorable. Our relationship with the Lord must be something memorable. Something that lasts till eternity in the New Jerusalem. And such relationship and times with the Lord needs to be cultivated. Needs to be cultivated. Now, I feel I must honor the time and stop here. And leave the rest for tomorrow and somehow finish it. We'll just, starting tomorrow, talk about the description of this relationship, our relationship with the Lord. Listen to me, mainly in what we do. What we do. As I'm speaking, we are working on another 72 words. Oh my sake. You're gonna kill us. Well, I'm not gonna kill nobody. But I'm just inspired about 72 words of what the Lord does. How about that? What the Lord does. This weekend is on what we can do to effect this kind of fellowship, this deeper, richer fellowship with the Lord. And you just think about what the Lord can do and will do in such fellowship. Brothers and sisters, I hope tonight you will not leave here with some requirement or some kind of a just being condemned or whatever it is. But if the Lord would speak to your heart and touch you, and I hope so, that you would go back to the Lord even tonight to start spending some time with Him right away. How long? You know, today we are everything is fast, bite size. Otherwise, you don't even touch it. I tell you, the Lord is not bite size. He is, but He doesn't want you to stay just bite size. And the Lord is not in for a quick touch and go. The Lord, listen, is jealous over your time. He wants your attention. He wants to spend time with you alone. He's waiting. He's waiting. Right there. If only you will stop. If only you will calm yourself down. If you would only not be distracted. Put everything away and spend that 30 minutes with the Lord. I tell you, a lot will happen. I guarantee you, a lot will happen. It happened to me. And there's no shortcut. There's no shortcut. Our enjoyment of Christ is directly proportional to the time and devotion we give to Him. There's no way around that. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I hope this word has been released. And how about, I think it's still good, it's Friday. We will end at 9:15, okay? So don't be too much in a hurry to go to your BlackBerry or something. Actually, everything can wait when it comes to God. You agree with me?
Amen.
Maybe if some can share briefly, quickly about what you're inspired with or touched with tonight. Just some sharing. Amen. Perhaps little prayer, even with each other, is in order. How about this? Just about 1 minute. Some prayer with your neighbor.
Can I speak to it?
Of our relationship with the Lord, I enjoy that we shouldn't even have the assurance to say that like our fellowship with the Lord today is, you know, it's good enough. We need to my personal time with the Lord can be stronger. My personal time with the Lord can be more intimate, can be deeper. Amen. Lord, we open to you. Oh, Lord, amen.
I was just reminded of two verses from hymn 437, which says, "What has stripped the seeming beauty from the idols of the earth? Not the sense of right or duty, but the sight of peerless worth." It continues by saying, not the crushing of those idols with its bitter void and smart, but the beaming of his beauty, the unveiling of his heart. I appreciate when our brother was sharing about, you know, all the technology and having a digital Sabbath, immediately my mind was like, all right, this Sunday, let's do it. Drop all the computers, all my phone, whatever, drop everything. But then the Lord reminded me of these two verses. It's not a matter of our doing, but it's our being freshly attracted to the Lord. It's our being freshly kissed by the Lord. Amen. Our fresh falling in love with the Lord Jesus. Amen. Only these things can cause us or give us even the motivation to have this sort of relationship with Him. Amen. Amen.
The same thing as Cephas, that what we need is to be personally drawn by the Lord. Amen. Right? And we need a personal and intimate relationship with the Lord. Amen. So we realize that many times we're distracted. You know, what Brother Menorah shared is really true. You know, we get distracted by so many things. But the solution to this really is to come back to the source. And the source is that we need a personal relationship with the Lord. You know, we need to be those spending, even spending the time to allow Him to go deeper in us. Just like in any relationship, it can only go further and deeper if you spend the time to get to know that person. Right? The same thing with the Lord, and even more importantly, it seems like, with the Lord Jesus. You know, we need to be those spending the time to allow the Lord to woo us and to draw us.
Amen. Lord.
Amen.
As a brother was speaking, I was reminded on when I was courting my wife, I definitely wanted to make sure that my time was private. You know, no one else in the recovery or anyone was seeing and watching and hearing anything. You know, I remember also how this time was so important to me. I treasured the time courting with my wife. Again, as the brother was speaking, he says, we have been betrothed to Christ.
Amen.
We also need to have this exact same heart and thought when we're spending time with the Lord. If we have to treasure this time.
Amen.
And the two words that stuck out to me tonight was not optional. Amen. I need to realize that this is not an option that I have, that I can if I feel like it, if I have the time, if I desire, if I want, blah, blah, blah. It is not optional.
Amen.
We need to spend time with our Lord.
Amen.
In such a way.
Amen.
Amen.
I just appreciated seeing how jealous the Lord is over us. And I just feel like the Lord is just calling me, you know, as He was through Jeremiah. And even just all of us through our brother at that time, just to return.
Amen.
The Lord is so jealous over us.
Amen.
You know, He wants us to return to Him. And if we return to the Lord to just spend some time with Him and give Him the opportunity, that I believe Psalm 40, I'm not sure, it's in the Psalm 40s, where that psalmist was just like, as the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for You, O God. My soul pants for the living God. Like, that desire for the Lord is not special to that person in the Psalms. For a person to spend time with the Lord, to give the Lord the opportunity to attract them, to woo them, and to draw them, that same kind of response can be reproduced in all of us.
Amen.
That same desire, yearning, and longing for the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And so my prayer is, Lord, I just like to return to You.
Amen.
I like to not worry about anything, not care about anything, but return to You, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, we need to return to You.
Amen.
Oh, I'm just so touched by today that the brothers say that no one can spend time for me to be with the Lord.
Amen.
Sometimes I meet some trouble, the problems, I just go to fellowship with the sisters and one ask them to pray for me. But now, thanks the Lord speaking tonight, that now I know I need the way to solve this problem is I need to spend my personal time with Him. Oh, Lord Jesus, I just want to focus on You. Just give my time to You. Let You to infuse in me. That's to satisfy Your satisfaction.
And remember the teaching. Oh, He said He would rise from the dead. The tomb is empty. The Lord Jesus is risen. Surely He has. But she didn't care about that. She just wanted a touch with the Lord.
Amen.
Well, sometimes we can even be distracted by getting through pages of ministry. And I'm surely not belittling reading through the morning revival, but I would say that's not the priority.
Right.
The priority is to have a personal touch, contact with the Lord Himself. And that personal touch with the resurrected Lord is what sends us to the meeting. Because she has time with the Lord in the Lord's presence, the Lord can say to her, go tell my brother that I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God.
Amen.
So she went to the meeting having a living contact with the Lord.
Amen.
Otherwise, the meetings would be hollow and they would be shallow. But if we really touch the Lord in the morning, when we come to the meeting, we radiate and reflect the one who has been beholden. I tell you, brothers and sisters, we need to have this reality.
Amen.
This makes the church life meaningful.
Today, I didn't feel like going to this meeting. I played some basketball with some brothers earlier today, and Brother David and I think Isaac and Brother Joe was inviting me to come to this meeting, and I didn't feel like going. But then, since like Brother David had all my stuff, he has all my backpack, my wallet, and his car. So I mean, that's the reason why that I came. So, but at that moment when I heard the word "return," rather feeling condemned, I felt like the Lord really touched my heart.
Amen.
Amen.
Hopefully this weekend he'll have a corporate but more so personal response from all of us to not just be satisfied with being in union with him, but to break through in this matter of having that union become a real communion. And just to be not conformed or fashioned according to this fast-paced and occupied age, but just spend time, even stopping a lot of the things that we've come to regard as needed or necessities, but rather they're not necessities of life, they're anxieties of this life. And to not allow those things to choke us, to choke the growth, to choke out the joy, the dynamism, the power, the impact, the fruit-bearing, the vitality of our church life and our personal life, but to really be refreshed, to have a fresh consecration, a fresh renewal, be renewed in the spirit of our mind.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus,
amen.
May He gain this in the church.
Amen.
I really appreciate how just to realize that we're too occupied. It's so easy to be occupied with everything. If not education, with our family. If not our family, our friends. And recently I just got really sick, and for a week I was at home doing nothing. I was like, yay, no school. But I also realized while I was home, wow, even the church life, going to meetings every night, that can also occupy you if you're missing the Lord. And so I got home and then I thought, oh, cool, I get to read a lot of ministries and spend time with the Lord. But then I got too occupied with my sickness. And I didn't even. But we just have to always remember, first and foremost, before anything else, before doing anything else, Christ.
Amen.
First, Christ. Because that's Christ the reason why we got called.
Amen.
Christ the reason why we got saved.
Amen.
So it's Him. Spend personal time for Him.
Amen.
We wake up for Him.
Amen.
Just amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Oh, thank you for this word.
Amen.
Thank you for your speaking to us.
Amen.
Pray that every response in each one of us.
Amen.
Lord, to pursue after you.
Amen.
To love you.
Amen.
Lord, draw us. Make us your lovers.
Amen.
Oh, loving you.
Amen.
Lord, freshly.
Amen.
Passionately.
Amen.
Lord, with the best love.
Amen.
Amen. I really thank the Lord for this this conference. I just feel like the Lord is really ministering to our real need. I'm so happy for this word that I just feel like our need isn't to be stirred up to really do something, to take some kind of outward activity. I really do feel the Lord is really meeting the need that we would come to Him. You know, these four meetings, you might say, is we're going to get some very good lectures. But I was touched. This kind of word needs a lot of lab time. You understand me?
Amen.
It needs a lot of time in the lab to develop this relationship with the Lord. So may we open to the Lord. I was touched. None of us should feel like we're okay. But as our brother said, we have to all ask the Lord and seek the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, speak a specific word to me.
Amen.
This weekend.
Amen.
That would have an effect in me. Anyway, thank the Lord for this this beginning word tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so we will have four meetings. They're all right here. Even Lord's Day, we'll have the Lord's table at 9:30, and the second meeting will start about 10:30, 10:45. Okay. As parking, as much as possible, if you can park. Especially on Lord's Day, if you can park outside the parking lot.